So here's the thing. Some Greeks have come and they're asking to see Jesus. Some Greeks, they want to meet with him. Yes, and I'm not sure what we do about it. Well, it's a bit of a cheek, really. Some Greeks. I think we should go and ask Jesus. These Greeks coming to see Jesus seem to have presented quite a challenge to Philip and Andrew in our gospel reading this morning. The Greeks are outsiders, you see. They have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, just as many others have come to the holy city for the holy festival. But they are not local. It is likely that they are not Jews by birth, but have converted to Judaism and have come to celebrate their Jewish faith. And this makes things quite tricky for the disciples. It also seems that Jesus has gathered by this point a crowd, a huge crowd following him. Access to him is not easy. And so the Greeks have to approach one of the disciples and ask for an interview because they couldn't get near him. Their request, their question asking, makes the disciples uncomfortable, unsure of what to do. And their problem lies in the fact that these people are outsiders. This morning, then, as part of the Talented campaign, which we're running throughout Lent, we are looking at what we do when outsiders come to us and make requests of us and challenge us. What do we do when they come? We must welcome them, we know that. But how do we welcome them? We'll also look at why we actually need people to come and see us and visit us and challenge us. And last of all, we'll look at the fact that we worship a God who welcomes us. So what do we do when people come to us? Why do we need them to come? And we worship a God who welcomes us. But we'll start with the middle one, just because I like to do that. We start with why we need them to come to us. Why do we need outsiders at all? To my thinking, these two disciples, Andrew and Philip, and at the arrival of the Greeks, must have thought to themselves, wouldn't life just be a lot easier if we could get on with following Jesus without all these interruptions, especially interruptions from outsiders? As the saying goes, I wake up relatively happy in the morning, and then I have to interact with other people. For us as a church, wouldn't life be easier if we could just get on with following Jesus, with our services on a Sunday, with hymn books and flowers and readings, coffee before and after the service, chatting with our friends, looking after each other during the week, visiting people who are sick and those who can't be with us on a Sunday anymore. And sometimes we can support charities and give a little bit of money. And wouldn't that all be good and lovely? And it would be good and lovely. And it is a lot of what makes church church. And I'm not knocking that at all. But it's not the only thing that makes church what church is. And for me as a minister, it's tempting for me to think of my role as one of tending to the flock, of caring for those who come to church, of providing a worship service and visiting the sick. Yet I know, and you know, that if that is all we do, the congregation dies. If we tend only to each other, then there will not be growth, only a slow death. As Jesus said in his response to the Greeks' request, a seed must fall on the ground and die before it can then grow and produce fruit. Otherwise, it remains just a seed. And he also said that those who love their life will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. If we want our church to grow and thrive, then we must do more than simply look after one another. We must respond well to the people who come to us from the outside. There is a whole world out there which needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and that can be a daunting thought. Where do we begin? What do we do to reach the lonely and the lost, the ones who have never been within a church in their lives? How do we turn our focus outward, away from ourselves, to include others and to include the outsider? For we need the outsider to come. We need the outsider to come and challenge us so that we will grow as a church. The second lesson that we learn from Andrew and Philip is that we must be welcoming, for they are welcoming of the Greeks. How do we welcome others? How can we be welcoming? Andrew and Philip listened to the Greeks and their request, and they did not turn them away. And likewise, we can make a start by welcoming those from our own communities who come and wish to speak with us, wish to meet with us, even if that makes us uncomfortable because they are different or because they challenge our ways of thinking and being. Surely the first step beyond simply looking after each other is to engage with those who are already interested, who want to engage with us. So we welcome others to come and to challenge us. But it got me to think that I have come to this church and I have been made to feel welcome. So you do welcome people. People feel welcome when they come. And I thought, maybe you could think, when you first came to this church, were you made to feel welcome? And if you've always been here, what's made you stay because you are welcome? Do you remember the person who spoke to you? Who was it that made sure that you were included, encouraged you to join in, held out their hand to you? I'm sure you can think of someone. Well, we have people coming to visit us this morning. There are young people, as Marianne has already mentioned, that are coming from the high school to speak to us about the things that they are doing in their global citizenship group. And they are going to present to us the issues that they are looking at, the issues surrounding the education of children and young people. They will be reminding us that while we expect an education for all our children, many children around the world do not go to school because of poverty or prejudice or turmoil in the places where they live. The young people from the high school are coming to challenge us, to make us aware of issues involved in education around the world. And perhaps some of us will be prompted into action by their words. Are we welcoming to these people, these visitors who are coming to our church? And can we take their requests seriously? Another challenge for me has been the young people within our own church. For last Friday night, they had a sleepover here in the church with no heating, complete with cardboard boxes, several layers of clothing, and sleeping bags. The reason they did this was so that they could experience for themselves a little of what it might be like to have no bed or home to sleep in. A little of what it might be like to be homeless, to feel the cold. And they did this to highlight the problem of homelessness to others, to bring it into the light. Now, I did not join them in their sleepover. I went home to my comfy bed and my warm house. But their actions have made me think twice about the things I take for granted, which others would consider to be a luxury. In sleeping rough for one night, our young people have asked questions of themselves and of us as to how we respond to homelessness and how that might change in the future. So it seems to me that today the Greeks coming to us are the young people in the midst of our community and from within our church. They are the ones who are asking us questions. which make us uncomfortable. They are asking us to consider standing up for those who have no voice, to feed the hungry and seek to change the world. The challenge is there, then. How do we respond? We may be like Andrew and Philip and not really know what to do. But neither did they send the Greeks away. They showed hospitality to these people by listening to them. How do we welcome others? Can we be open to the ones who come? Can we open our doors to welcome them? Open our ears to listen to them? Try to understand where they're coming from? Can we open our eyes to see the need which is around us and open our hearts to accept the ones who are different from ourselves? In all of these questions, last of all, we have the point that we worship a God who welcomes us, and that is the gospel that we preach and that we hear from of Jesus Christ. For we are the outsiders. We are the ones who have been welcomed into God's family through Jesus' death and resurrection. For what God does is Jesus goes to Calvary and is killed on the cross and dies and is laid in a grave, rising from the dead on the third day. What God does is he reconciles human beings to himself. And that is for everyone. God welcomes everyone. No one is excluded. There is neither Greek nor Jew in the kingdom. And this is what Jeremiah also wrote of in our Old Testament reading. He wrote of the new covenant between God and humankind, which is for all people. God draws all people to himself. And that is what we celebrate today. To the glory of God. Amen.